It's the morning show. I'm Shireen Seward. Well, the U.S. Department of Energy isn't banning all incandescent light bulbs. You won't be able to buy them in stores starting in late July. So what's behind the ban? And will it really lead to a major cost savings for consumers in the long run? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dylan Cry is the residential portfolio manager for Focus on Energy. It's a statewide program in Wisconsin that offers information and services to help residents and businesses select and install cost-effective solutions, saving energy and money. Dylan, welcome.
Hi, good morning, Shireen.
Two new federal energy efficiency standards will take effect on light bulbs next month. What do the new standards say?
Yeah, so two rules there. So the first rule established a revised definition of general service lamps. So that one's kind of esoteric, but basically the DOE just wanted to make sure that they had a good definition of what they were going to regulate with the second rule.
Okay.
And the second rule is that there is a minimum standard of 45 lumens per watt for light bulbs. And essentially what that did was phase out incandescent bulbs in favor of LEDs.
Okay. So when will retailers be banned from selling incandescent light bulbs?
There is a phase out. And so this process, the rulemaking, I think, was adopted middle of last year. Manufacturers had to stop producing them a few months ago, or were required to, or else there would be penalties.
Okay.
And then retailers, I believe it is the end of this month, July, they will have to stop selling LEDs or face potential penalties.
What kind of penalties are we talking about? And how are they going to police that?
That's a great question. I wouldn't actually have an answer to that. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, it just struck me. I'm thinking, I wonder how, like, is there going to be a light bulb police that goes into stores?
So, that's a great question.
Okay. So what is Focus on Energy's role during this energy efficiency transition? What are you doing?
Yeah. So Focus on Energy has been around for over 20 years. And in that time, we work with our utility partners to help their customers save energy. A big part of that has been lighting. And before we had LEDs, we had CFLs, compact fluorescent light bulbs. And Focus on Energy was a big part in getting those out into the market. And then, funny thing, LEDs came onto the scene shortly after CFLs did, and they kind of took the market by storm, so to speak. And Focus on Energy has always been a big part in pushing efficient technology to the point of in 2021, LEDs actually had an 87% market share in Wisconsin, which ranked Wisconsin third in the entire country for market share of LEDs, with the national average being just 75%. So Focus on Energy really is, we provide rebates, instant discounts for efficient products, and also education for consumers to try to help them make the best decision that'll save them money and energy in the long run.
We're talking about new federal light bulb standards taking effect this July. Our guest is Dylan Cry, residential portfolio manager for Focus on Energy. It's a statewide program that provides energy efficient support to businesses and consumers. So the U.S. Department of Energy says light bulbs have to emit a minimum of, 45 lumens per watt. How much energy does an incandescent light bulb consume compared to an LED light bulb? Put that into perspective for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So an incandescent light bulb, let's take the 60-watt light bulb. That's a pretty common wattage. So an LED equivalent is going to use roughly 9 to 10 watts versus the 60 that an incandescent bulb would use. The reason for that is incandescent bulbs actually release 90% of their energy as heat, whereas LEDs use this energy far more efficiently with little wasted heat. So it was a great technology, right? It got us through 100 plus years, but we've moved on to this newer, better technology of the LED.
Are they safer? I mean, I'm thinking about, like, especially with, like, Christmas tree lights and things like that.
Oh, sure.
With the heat. Yeah. I mean, with being a cooler light bulb, are they a safer light bulb as well? Or is that just nonsense?
No, I would say, well, less chance for a burn, perhaps, right? And if there had ever been Christmas tree fires, I think much less likely to happen now. So.
Okay. All right. So when we're
But nothing
talking,
dangerous about the technology.
nothing dangerous about the technology. So, well, let's go to the phone. We have Lou with us from Ashland who has a question. Good morning, Lou. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, and I'm so glad I got to hear that this was the subject. I changed my dining area, which is right over the dining table, the dining area lights to LED, and was excited that, hey, I was going to save money. And I proceeded to feel nauseous anytime I sat under those lights. So I changed them back. And anytime I can see a store selling, the incandescent, the quote unquote old fashioned lights, I buy them up because I refuse to sit under those lights. I refuse to have them, anywhere where we're just going to be sitting right under, off to the side, a lamp or something. That's one thing. But I, no,
Okay, Dylan, have you heard that before? People who don't feel well when they're sitting under LED lights?
I haven't heard that specifically, but I would say yeah, so there are a few things potentially going on here. Number one is perhaps the quality or of the manufacturer of the bulbs. Not unfortunately, not everyone that produces LEDs is necessarily putting out great product. So that could be something to consider. Maybe if it was kind of a cheap bulb, maybe that's not a great product. A couple things, other things to think about are the color or the appearance of the bulbs. So just like kind of older standard kind of incandescent bulbs or CFLs, they would come in various color temperatures. And when we talk about that, we talk about the Kelvin scale. And typically you'll see these from a warm to a cool range. And so the warmest bulbs, so they're kind of warm white or soft white is what we would call them, are going to start it down at that 2700K range, so 2700 Kelvins. And then they progressively get cooler. So they go to kind of from a yellowish warm white into a kind of cool natural white. And then the coolest are the natural or daylight bulbs. And those are usually the 5000K, maybe even up to 6500K. So it could be the color that is perhaps throwing you off in that particular room. Usually, we like to do warmer, soft whites in maybe a bedroom or a living room. The cool natural whites, so that'd be like a 3500K to a 4000K. Typically, in maybe something like the dining room or the kitchen, and then the task lighting is kind of that higher natural or daylight, so 5000K and kind of up. So that's one thing to consider is kind of the color and the appearance, the color temperature. Another one is actually the color rendering index. This is something most people probably haven't heard of, but a bulb's CRI is evaluated on a scale of 1 to 100, with 100 being the same quality as natural sunlight. So it's actually how accurately artificial light shows the color of what it illuminates. And if there's a if you have a bulb that happens to have a low CRI, could look different to you, right? Your brain could see that and think, this isn't normal. This isn't what I'm used to seeing. And it could just be because it's kind of a poor quality bulb.
That's interesting. I'm really glad that Lou brought that up because I never thought about the different shades and the different tones that and how it might affect your brain. Interesting. Dylan Cry is the residential portfolio manager for Focus on Energy. He'll stay with us. You can call 800-642-1234. I'm Shereen Siewert. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Shereen Siewert. Soon, incandescent light bulbs will be a thing of the past as the U.S. continues to phase out their use in favor of more energy-efficient options. Have you already made the switch? Are you seeing a difference in your energy consumption? Call in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dylan Cry is a residential portfolio manager for Focus on Energy. Statewide program in Wisconsin offers information and services to help residents and businesses select and install cost-effective solutions that save energy and money. Dylan stays with us. Dylan, I have to tell you, my brother is the biggest skinflint ever. Like, he's the biggest cheapskate. And I'm not saying that behind his back. He's probably listening right now and laughing. But his big complaint is that those light bulbs cost a lot. I mean, the new ones. I'm not spending that kind of money on a light bulb. So what do you say to somebody who says those light bulbs are expensive?
Yeah, it's true. And they've come down a lot in the past few years, and they will continue to do so, especially as this becomes the lighting technology that is standard around the country. You know, the DOE does expect consumers to save nearly $3 billion per year on their utility bills with these rules taking place. And so, yes, there is a slight increase in cost on the front end, but these bulbs last much longer, use much less energy. And so in the long run, are really going to save a lot of money for customers. So it is a bit of a, you know, it's a small investment. It does take a little bit more upfront, but also, again, as these become more and more commonplace and really the standard, the prices are going to continue to come down.
So the billions that Americans are saving on utility bills, what does that really break down to for the average American family? Do you know?
That I don't. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm just curious what it means for, you know, for the average person. Dawn from Madison called. Dawn raises chicks, wants to know if they'll still be able to get bulbs for the heat lamps that they use.
Yeah, that's a great question. So this rule is really about general service lamps. Specialty lamps are not going to have this 45 lumen per watt requirement. I would think especially a heat lamp, the intent of those to radiate heat would not be, they would not stop allowing those to be sold. So,
okay. Does this energy transition mean that Christmas lights on the shelves this year will only be LED then? You know, are there other options?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually don't know about the Christmas lights. I don't know if that falls
keep bringing
under
up the Christmas lights.
I know. Yeah. That's right. I don't know if that falls under the definition of the general service lamps that is in this rulemaking.
Okay. Well, we have Jay with us from Two Rivers calling now. Hi, Jay. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. Well, we have transitioned to mostly all LED lights, but it took a while. Just like with the compact fluorescents, it seems that the solid state drive circuitry hasn't caught up with the lamp technology. Just like the old CFLs, they wouldn't dim properly with the old incandescent dimmer, and they would throw off a lot of radio frequency interference, and that's still happening with some brands of LEDs. And I don't know, the FCC used to be a little more on the ball when limiting that interference. So I've got a question about the CRI. Let's say you've got a 2700K and a 65, and they'll both have a high CRI in some cases. Is that due to the overall light spectrum that they produce? Because you would think there might be a difference with that change of from very warm to quite cool.
Okay. Thanks, Jay. Dylan, do you know the answer to that question?
That is a great question. I wish I knew the answer to. It's a very insightful question.
We are putting you on the spot today, aren't we?
Yeah. I exhausted my CRI color rendering index knowledge when I shared about it.
See,
earlier.
That's the problem. You sounded so smart, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Thank you, Jay, for the question. Now I'm going to go look it up so that I will know at least. Thank you.
Okay.
But one thing you did mention was the dimmers, and I'm glad you did. Most LEDs, I think today on the market, are likely dimmable. Some are still not, and some of the older ones definitely were not. And also they wouldn't necessarily all be compatible with an older incandescent or CFL dimmer. And that has to do with kind of the wattage that the dimmer is sending out and all this stuff. So I'm glad you did bring that up. Okay. As far as controlling the LEDs and using them with existing light fixtures, for instance, there may be some small issues with that. But you can definitely get new dimmers that work with LEDs. Most of them are dimmable. And just a quick note also, with LEDs came this idea of smart bulbs and being able to connect to your home and controlling when they're on and off, and the color or the temperature, the dim level of the bulbs. And so that's another huge aspect of this LED technology being introduced and kind of becoming mainstream, is that along with that came this concept of the smart bulb, and we can do a lot of cool stuff with those too.
We are talking about new federal guidelines taking effect for light bulbs. Our guest is Dylan Cry, Residential Portfolio Manager for the statewide program Focus on Energy. Janice is on the phone from New Berlin. Janice, thanks for calling.
Good morning. I have a question about streetlights. We live on Greenfield Avenue, and New Berlin has white, or whatever you call them. Brookfield has yellow streetlights. I hate the white ones. They're hard on the eyes. Even the cars that have those light kind of lights, headlights.
Oh, the headlights.
Is there any difference between energy saving and cost between the yellow and the white?
That's an interesting question. Thanks, Janice. Is there any difference, Dylan, in, like, when you talk about the yellow ones, the white ones, is there any difference in energy use or cost, you know?
Not that I'm aware of. And, you know, that is going to be a municipality by municipality decision as to what color they want in their street lighting. I will say, I'm guessing they probably went for the kind of cooler, bluer light, or whiter light, I suppose, because it might be a little easier to see things. So it's probably a safety perspective, right? It's a little bit clearer maybe to see that stuff than if you were trying to pick it out with kind of a warmer kind of yellower light.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But no energy savings really between the two that I would be aware of.
It's really just a preference thing then. Sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it's however they tuned that LED when they made it in the in the factory.
Well, Janice, thanks for calling. I appreciate that question. You know, based on the market share information that you shared earlier, do you think Wisconsin residents will feel the effects of this LED light bulb transition? Or do you think that residents are really already making that switch? They're already energy efficient in terms of lighting.
Yeah, the market data says that really a lot of Wisconsin has adopted LEDs already. You know, when we get to find, you know, kind of full adoption, you know, then everyone, all households will really be seeing that reduction in energy bill, which is great. The other kind of bigger piece to this is that this does keep peak demand down. And so peak demand is this concept of an energy company or all of our utilities across the state. They need to have power plants large enough to provide the energy at the very peak. So when everyone is basically demanding energy all at once, which is right now, it's typically, you know, the hottest day in summer with everyone running their air conditioner. Switching over to LEDs actually helps keep that peak down, which helps us delay installing new power plants. And that, you know, the cost of new power plants do typically fall back on the customers. And so this is keeping energy bills down, even for those people who haven't installed LEDs yet, and will continue to do so in the future. So it really is kind of a community statewide benefit that everyone adopt LEDs.
So it sounds like there's kind of a ripple effect that we're counting on here.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, absolutely.
I want to give you a moment. We have about a minute or so left together. I want to give you time to explain the free saving energy packs that Focus on Energy offers consumers and how people can find out more about those.
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is where you can find all the information, focusonenergy.com. So we do partner with 107 utilities across the state. Anyone that is a customer of these participating utilities, which is most of them across Wisconsin, you are eligible for a free pack, and you can go on and choose one of three different packs available. And we'll go ahead and ship this straight to your door for free, and you can get one pack each year. The packs this year are, we've got some water saving devices, so a couple different shower heads with some lighting in there. And then we have a weatherization pack as well. And that's going to be stuff like window film and door and window weather sealing, et cetera. So yeah, that all comes straight to your door for free. So definitely check that out. Again, focusonenergy.com. We also did launch a free online home energy assessment late last year. And so that's a really interesting one where you can enter some basic information about your home. And then we'll give you some kind of customized ideas for how you can improve the energy efficiency of your home and links back to some of the programs that we offer with Focus.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today and spending the time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Dylan Cry is the Residential Portfolio Manager for Focus on Energy. It's a statewide program in Wisconsin that offers residents and businesses cost-effective solutions that save energy and money. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.